Good evening, Abosai. Before starting, Dain Lopian, Zichrone Livracha, the last story they said in public. Do you remember the last story they said in public? The dinner? A Blazer Gordon. That's right. Very good. Dain Lopian's last story they said in public was the story of a Blazer Gordon, which Blazer Gordon was one of the foremost Talmidim, very, very chosh v'bocha, and he was taken as a son-in-law by a chosh v'yid, a very rich, wealthy yid, whose name was Avraham Yitzchok Nevi'ezer, who was a chosh v'tamid chochem, as well as being a very big gvir. And he chose him as a son-in-law, with the condition that he wants to provide for him as long as he sits and learns. He was sitting and learning, Blazer Gordon was sitting and learning Alat Torah with very great Asmoda. And what happened was that after a few years, he was learning and sitting and learning, schwitzing, a position was offered to him because he was Choshva, a younger man. He was offered a position as a Rav in a certain Kela, and he said, his father-in-law then insisted, he said, no, I want him to sit and learn, I want to have this course of supporting him, I don't want him to go anywhere. And he stayed and learned. His daughter and his son-in-law was learned by in his literally, very literally, in his house, in his learned Torah. After a few years, another position came up, and here again, no, he's sitting and learning. I want to have this chus of supporting him, and he carried on like this until the prestigious yeshiva and not only yeshiva, the killer of Tells offered him a position, and the most prestigious position in to be Rosh Yeshiva in Tels. It was Rabbonus as well as Rosh Yeshiva. It was like one of those communities that to be Rav would be combined with Rosh Yeshiva. And there was such a prominent, such a prestigious offer that he didn't know what to do again. And the father-in-law then said, no, I want to keep him here. But Shviger, obviously she knows better, right? And she said, you know what, actually he can't sit and learn here forever. This is a beautiful opportunity. Why doesn't he go and take this position? And then famously, Avraham Yitzchok Nevi'ezer said that who knows who is supporting whom? Who knows who is supporting whom? Who knows? Who said that it's our chos to support him? Maybe he's supporting us. But the Shvigin knew better, and she insisted on him actually taking the position. And the Blazer Gordon adhered, and he went off to take the position in Tells, where he became Rosh Yeshiva and Rav of Tells, where he actually was very, very successful. He was there for many years. The very, very day that he assumed the position in Tells, that very, very day, took a few months for him to get ready and pack his bags, etc. The day he arrived in Tells, that very, very day, his father-in-law was Nifta, that very day, which Blazer Gordon himself, and he said, that's Pshat, in other words, who's supporting whom? It wasn't him. It wasn't in retrospect. It was clearly not the fact that Reb Blazer Gordon was supported by his father-in-law financially. On the contrary, what really was that the whole tzchus kiyum, the existence of his father-in-law, was in his tzchus of supporting his son-in-law Torah. And the second that he didn't have that tzchus anymore of supporting his son-in-law Torah, that tzchus was taken away because he assumed rabbonis elsewhere and he wasn't supporting him anymore. That really did, he wasn't supporting anymore. He had no tzchus kiyum anymore. He didn't have any existence anymore, and hence he was nifta. That's the last story that Dain Lopian said, and that's the famous story of Blazer Gordon, who is supporting whom. Now, I want to add something because it was Nisirati, and that the truth is that the story actually, the side of the story is actually mefurish in the first psukim of Megillah Sos. It's absolutely black and white. It's absolutely black and white right in the beginning of Megillah Sos. Because what do we find? What do we find? Who? Exactly. So the Rashi says that they're very good, 100% Moshele, that if you look at the beginning of Megillah Sos, what happens to Al-Melech, He's presented first Psukim as a very rich individual, very rich. What happens is that he travels down from Eretz Yisrael, he goes to stay in Moav. And Rashi explains, and it's a Gemara, that he was because of Ein Ra. Ein Ra, he was scared, it was a famine in the land. And he was nervous because so many people came to knock on his door. He was very rich, he was particularly wealthy, and so many people came knocking on his door that he was worried about his about his possessions. He was worthy about his wealth. And because of his ayin ra, as Rashi says, he was so concerned. He said, you know what, I can't provide all these poor people now because of the famine. I can't help them. It's too many of them. So he packed his bag very, very literally, and he went down to travel to stay in Moab because he wanted to protect his wealth and his fortune. But what happens is, as the psukim continue, the first few psukim in the Megillah teach us what happened, that he lost all his fortune. He lost everything. First he loses his money, then he loses his family, and then eventually he loses his own life, and Naomi is by herself, and the rest is history. But the point being that he lost all his wealth. He lost all his wealth. Why did he lose all his wealth? He lost all his wealth because the only reason why he had his wealth was he was providing and supporting Eden. The second he went down from Eretz Yisrael, he went down, that's, he wanted to protect his wealth. But in truthfully, exactly opposite happened. He lost all his wealth. As soon as he goes down, he had lost all his wealth. His fortune went completely down the drain because he went to stay in Moab. Because the only reason why he had his wealth was to provide for others, to share with others. And the second that he didn't provide, he didn't give tzedakah anymore, he lost all his fortune, which is exactly the same yesod than Reb Eliezer Golden. Who is supporting whom? Elimelech didn't chap that really the only reason for his wealth was because his reason for his wealth was to support others. Who is supporting whom? It wasn't him supporting others, but on the contrary, it was the Aniyim that had given him the schus of his fortune. I thought it was quite fascinating. It occurred to me that the yesod of the story is the same. Makes sense. Okay. I want to quickly go over the Ramon's at the end of Simd Reish Tezayin before we proceed in the Reish Tezayin. Let me just go quickly through the words on the Ramon, page 262. Here is Oymund Amriach Pas Bepas Cham. Somebody goes and he smells hot bread. You make a specific brocha. And some say, don't make that brocha. Therefore, the minig is better, not the minig, but it's better not to smell at all. It's better not to smell at all. Rama. These are the words of the Rama. Mishneh Berurah. Sif Cotton, Nun Dalet. Hamereach, somebody who smells bread. Yesh Lalivorech. K'moi b'sha peiros, like fruit, sha'oim dem la'achila, which are here for smell. Yesh lam le'reach, they have a smell. Shemavorech aleihem, that you tend to smell, that you have to smell on them. K'shenoit lo'isom k'te le'reach bohem. So just like the Ramah's initial opinion, it's just like you're making a bracha on fruit, similarly you have to make a bracha on hot, nice smelling bread. Do you like the smell of bread? Smell that. So you can make a bracha. But the Ramadan says, some say you don't make a bracha. The ain't levoy cholov, tzivkot nun hei, the ain't zereach choshuv. It's not a choshuv smell. Roy levoy cholov, it's not enough sufficient reach to make a bracha on. Lochain, ain't levoyach boy, you don't make a bracha. Vim reach, ain't levoy cholov. The Ramadan's words are added with the Mogen Avraham's words, which that if you do smell, you don't make a bracha. And that is the minhag that you will not make a bracha on bread. You try to avoid the smell. If you can't avoid it, you'll still not make a bracha. Point taken. Yeah, absolutely. So you're saying this additional reason why we won't make a bracha on bread because it's man-made, as opposed to a natural product. Point taken, absolutely. Okay. We're ready for Simon Reish Yud Zayin. A lot of these concepts we have touched on, some of them are new. Simon Reish Yud Zayin, Birkas HaPsomim, VeHamugmah, the Boch HaPsomim, and Mugmah spices and roasted spices. HaNichnos LeChanus Social Boisem. Somebody goes into a shop in which they sell boisem. They sell nice smelling spices. There's all types of nice smells emerging from the shop. You make the bracha boire mine psomim. Yes, you enter the shop which sells specifically spices, and you will make a bracha boire mine psomim. Yoshav shom kol hayoim, somebody sits in that shop the entire day. Ene mevorech, you will only make bracha achas. Ene achas, you only make one bracha. Nichnos v'yoytzei, if you exit and you enter again, Nechnas v'yotze. You go into the shop and you leave. You go in, you leave. You go in, you leave. Mevorech al kol pam. You make a bracha every single time you enter. For dafka, and this is only specifically shloi hoyoy dai to lachzoy. This is only if he had no intention to return. Avol, but hoyoy dai to lachzoy. His intention was to return into the shop. Lo yevorech. You do not make a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch teaches us a few halachas. Again, first halacha is if you go into a shop which sells nice smells, you're going to make a bracha. If you sit there the entire day, you will make one bracha. If you enter, go in, go out, you'll make a bracha every time, as long as you had no intention to return. If you had intention to return, you would only make one bracha. Okay. So, if Kotna Aleph Mishnah says, after we see base, Mishnah Berurah asked a very straightforward question. We learned previously, and later on again, that and you only make a bracha if something is here for its smell. Where do we touch on this point? It's there for the smell. Air freshener, we touched on this, that's right. It's really a bit similar to the Esrog Shel Mitzvah as well. You don't make a bracha on an Esrog if it's designated for mitzvah, because you're not really holding it for smell. You're holding it for the mitzvah. So we have the concept that you only make a bracha on smells if it's here to be smelt. So the question is, that the Mishnah was asking, so why is it that if you go into a shop, why making a bracha? Good. Good. So what you're actually answering is the Mishbu's answer. Yeah? But we have to first appreciate the question. The question is that it's not really there. It's not there for sale. So why making a bracha on smell? But you're right, the Mishnah's answer is quite similar. So again, after we see Bezbe would have been on Shia Nasa Boy Simlareach, why did he have all the smells there? They're there for sale, he wants to sell them. So why making a bracha on them? Mishnah Berurah answers, Be'emes, gam b'zeh nikol osui l'erech. This is also considered osui l'erech. It's also made for smell. Denich alei, it is good for him. Shirichu anoshim, hireach aboisem, it is good for him. He wants, he positively desires that people should smell it. Ve'yovoyu liknois mimenu, and people are going to purchase. So this is really early marketing tips, that's right. Early marketing, it probably goes in psychology, that you when somebody sells items, he wants to have pleasant smells. Because if it's just the items themselves, then people are not going to sell as much. If the fact that the good smells are coming out from there, he's more likely to sell his items, his products. Lefiza, therefore, imunachim psomim bechedroi shel chen v'niaboisem v'loi bechanusoi. If they are in a specific room and not in an actual shop, the hainu, the imunachim befumbi, they are not displayed publicly, pemokom in a place shemotsui, not publicly displayed where people yoitzim v'nichnosim entering and leaving. Tohasam lo yavide l'recha. If it's in an internal room. So say, for argument's sake, it's in the warehouse. You're entering the warehouse, and there is a very good smell. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you won't make a bracha there, because just by entering the warehouse, there's good smells. It's not there, l'orech. The only reason why the nice smells are there is for storing purposes, storage. And therefore, you won't make a bracha there. It's not l'orech, and you won't make a bracha. Now, if you're taking it with your hands, then you'd be able to make a bracha, but not stand by entering. But if you're grabbing with your hand, you're holding it, you could make a bracha. So, if you're just entering a shop, so it's displayed for the purpose of smell, so you can make a bracha on it. However, if you're going to the storage area, where it's not really there for smell, then you don't make a bracha unless you're grabbing it yourself, you're taking it, and then you can make a bracha like any time. If you're grabbing it, holding it, you can make a bracha. Interesting. The Bialach over here speaks about a chemist. And he wants to know, can we sometimes smell very nice as well? Is it? I mean, nowadays? It does, right? Yeah, can we?
What happens if the owner's actually Jewish, the whole day's in the shop, he's Jewish?
Oh, that will be the next point. We'll get to that. We'll mamash get to that. But what about the kemet? Because the shop that we're talking about over here is the chanusa shel boisim. Somebody's selling nice smelling products, perfumes, etc. So there, Shulchan Aruch says you can make a bracha, nichnas the chanusa. But what if it's a pharmacy? What if it's a chemist? It's not mental smelling. He just happens to be smelling nice. So Bialoch is very concerned about this. He's not sure. He says that actually, the nice smell of refuas is integral. The nice smell of refuas, of medicines, is integral as well. And therefore, it's not stam that it smells nice there. But it's actually very much because they want people to buy the medicines. And I do not know to what extent this applies nowadays anymore. It may or it may not. What do you think? If you go to a chemist and it smells particularly nice? No?
You go
into
the hospital,
it
smells of really artificial bleach.
Yeah. You won't make a bracha. Yeah, really. Yeah. Yeah, I hear. Yeah, I'm also wouldn't make a bracha on a camel.
This is much better than the kafana of the person who puts it there. Because you have to pick up, if you're in the storehouse, and you walk in, you, even if you have kafana, you want to benefit, it's not enough. You have to pick it up. So, it's much better.
So,
my sister, with kafana, to benefit.
Are you referring to
storage?
Yeah, Mishnah Berurah says that storage you can't make a bracha unless you actually take it. Yeah, so the pshat is that it's true. The person who put it there, his kavon is not good enough. He won't be able. As far as that is concerned, you can't make a bracha. You can make yourself into a chiyuv bracha by holding it. Then that's fine.
You have to make a
maaser. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. You have to make a maaser. So the Mishnah Berurah continues in Sifkotan. Sifkotan Gimel, and he addressed the point. Did you notice what bracha do you make and you go into this Chanusha Shel Boisim? What bracha do you make? Bereminei Psamim. Is that straightforward?
No.
Why? It depends what it is. So why does he just say you make Bereminei Psamim? Could be Atzei Psamim, could be Isrei Psamim. Why does he say Minei Psamim? That question is answered by the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkotan Gimel, fourth wide line. Because in the place in a shop selling dimtzoim boy, there will be in it atzei trees ve'ispen grasses of psamim. Lefichor, therefore, meorch mine psamim. If in doubt, you make mine psamim. It is all kinds, and therefore you can make mine psamim. Veloy domi, and you will not know. It's not comparable. It's not comparable to what we learned earlier. Do you remember we learned in Sefiut that if you've got in front of you Atzei Psomim, Isrei Psomim, Dimoichal Kol Echot, Bocha Eru Yoloi. Do you remember that we learned yesterday, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? If you've got various items, you make a few different brachas. Do you remember? So what about here? You should also make Atzei and Isrei because you have various reasons for bracha. So why don't you make a few brachas here? Hossa Meirish mevin lefon of shnaim or shloisha minim v'noitel biyodim mikol min lebifne atzim l'erichoy. There we're talking about you've got a few items present in front of you. You can make a bracha individual on each. Lefich mevoich akol min lebifne atzimoy. You can make a bracha on each individually. Atzei Isve, you can make a bracha individually. Mashen kein hocha. Here, it's different. Shein v'noitel biyodim. Shem boisim is not taking anything in his hand. When he enters, he's got various smells. As he walks in, various smells streaming towards him. He makes one bracha on each, which is very interesting, Rabbi Isai. We're learning of interesting. If you've got a combination of a few smells coming towards you, you're going to make one bracha, and that's going to be mine psamim. As opposed to if you've got a bit of spices here, a bit of spices there, a bit of here, three, four items in front of you, take each and make a bracha. Take a atzip something, put it down. Itzip something, put it down. Minip something, put it down. That's if you've got item. But if you just walk into and there's like many smells emerging towards you, which has merged as one smell, you can make minip something. One bracha only. Right, now we learned about what about if you walk in and out. So here, Rabbi Isai, it reminds me a little bit of Yom Kippur. This is very relevant to Yom Kippur. Rabbi said, what's the halacha on Yom Kippur? You need to get to the 100 brachas, right? As we know, on a regular day, we are quite safe with the 100 brachas, right? Yeah, we're quite safe with the 100 brachas. On a Shabbos, we're also pretty safe. And Yom Tov gets a bit more tricky. But then Yom Kippur gets even more tricky. And therefore, you can't get to the 100 brachas unless with a bit of extra effort. You can't get to the 100 brachas unless with a bit of extra push. And Mishnah Berurah then recommends in Hilchos Yom Kippur, how do you get with the 100 brachas? Probably the best way is to make psalmim. Now here, what you have seen, what I've seen, and you probably have seen as well, you've got people who take some minip psalmim, and they are very kindly arranging for themselves and for others minip psalmim, and they make a bracha and they put it down, and then half an hour later they will take it again, make another bracha and put it down again. Is this right or wrong? Can you make numerous times minip psalmim and then put it down or not? I remember seeing, I don't remember if it was here or elsewhere, don't remember, somebody was kind enough, it's a brilliant idea, such a brilliant idea. I saw it once and I thought, that's nice. He had various, I'd say, minei Yisrael psalmim ready, and with a broch on it, I don't remember which actual, and it was ready and people could just like take it and make a broch and put it out. And I also remember once a Shalom Zocha, there was a Shalom Zocha once in Yom Kippur, a few years ago over here. Keith, that's right. A few years ago, probably like 3-4 years ago. Michal. No, he's okay, good. So that's about 5 years ago. Yeah. So very good, good memory there. So here they prepared the actual. It said the bracha on the thing, and there was like a few of them ready. Yeah. Yeah, or not, it was Yom Kippur. So, yeah. So the question now, which you're going to be able to see now, can you do that or not? Can you take the same, if it's various brachas, fine, you make a bracha, you put it down. Take a different bracha, you put it down. But if it's the same bracha, can you do the same bracha numerous times, yes or no? Right, limiting one's bracha.
And whilst you might not be able to do that the rest of the year, presumably on Yom Kippur when you've got the other al-kochach, you have to make other brachas, then you'd have to say that there's more of a kula.
More of a kula.
Saying 100 brachas on Yom Kippur, is the custom of saying 100 brachas strong enough that you get it straight into bracha shein sreita territory?
Good. So that's a very good question. The answer is you may not do a bracha shein otzricha in order to get to 100 brachas. You may not. But let us first identify as to whether that's considered a brachah and a tzricha or not, and that we're going to see now. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Cotton. So what we have learned so far is about to go into the shop. If you have got intention to return, you cannot make an additional brachah. But if you have no intention to return, and you end up going back, you could make a new brachah. Seif Cotton, Vav, Mishnah Berurah. How you die to lachzoy? No, 1 second. No, Sevkotten Dalet first. It makes no difference. You can only make one boch. It makes no difference if Mesiach das, if you took my mind off or not. Kevan, since Sharech Oileloi Todir, since the smell comes the whole time to you, calls man Yoshe Bechanus. So the shopkeeper, Rabbi Isai, he can only make one boch. Why? Because the smell remains the whole time there. The smell remains the whole time. So you can only make one bracha. And the shopkeeper himself, Pam Rishon Shebechol Yoim, as he walks into the shop, he makes one bracha. Vesuloi, not more. Since he knows, inevitably he's going to come back. Shopkeeper knows. So he's going to make one bracha in the morning. You can go out 100 times. That's not considered hes chadas. Why is it not hes chadas? Because he knows he's going to be back. So you make one bracha. Some say that no, even if you go the first time and you won't make a bracha. When you walk in the first time into the shop with the good smells, you have intention to be nene from the smell, you make one bracha. However many times you go in and out, You make one bracha only. Right. Okay. There's a bit more about this, and we'll actually be able to paskan Yom Kippur Shaila after seeing Sivkot and Sivkot Zayin. We'll be doing that tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. To recap what we covered tonight, we learned about the bread, and we learned that in terms of the bread, you don't make a bracha. The minhag is not to make a bracha. We learned about Birkas Psomim. Somebody goes into a Psomim shop, you make a bracha, Boirim in a Psomim. We spoke about the difference between one collective smell coming as opposed to many separate smells. We spoke about holding it to make the bracha. We spoke about making one bracha for the whole day, not having a schadas. And we'll be going into more details of these specifics tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.